turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. Only one verse today. We've been looking through the Ten Commandments, the first four talking about our relationship in loving God. And today we start number five, and it's about how our relationship works in loving our neighbor or loving those people around us. So those two elements make up all of the God's law. Love God, love your neighbor. And so today we start with the first one, honor your father and mother. This is a foundational principle for a healthy society. Every element of human relationships starts at home. And the primary relationship at home is between parent and child. And so today we want to look and see what God has for us to learn from this commandment. Stand with me if you will. We're just going to read the one verse. We can read it out loud together. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. And we'll pray and ask God to lead us in our understanding today, and then we'll look to his word for further instruction. So honor, read it with me. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Lord, we thank you for your commandments, these foundational elements to morality, this illustration of your character, these principles upon which a healthy society is established. And we ask that you would teach us by your Spirit what it is that would be helpful to our lives, each of us individually, as you know our lives. That we might take it and apply it. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Healthy relationships start at home. I don't know if if it's ever occurred to you, but how many of you have parents? How many of you, as young people, as you think back to your days as a young person, look back and say, I could have treated my parents better? Anybody here? Yeah, I think we all have that feeling. Sometimes in our youthfulness, we don't appreciate the wonder of parenting. And then as you become older and you get your own children, you begin to understand, wow, this is a big job. And from that very simple relationship of father and mother to child, son or daughter, we develop incredible skills for life. You think about it, all the things your parents taught you. They fed you, they clothed you, they taught you to walk, to talk, they taught you to sleep at the right times. They taught you how to clothe yourself, how to care for yourself, how to treat people around you, even beyond the family. All the elements of basic life, parents contribute. And I know today there are many, many people who are suffering the loss of either not having a father, not having a mother, or not having parents at all. And there is this blessedness of someone coming along and filling that role. It's an amazing contribution to a life. And if you've been part of that either through fostering or adopting or just becoming a spiritual father or mother, bless you. Bless you. That is a very wonderful thing to invest in the life of another person. So human relationships start at home with learning how to honor. Learning how to honor. God takes this very seriously. This is one of those commands that has both promise, but it also has serious discipline. And for us to understand this in our culture today is a little bit beyond our imagination. Listen to this. Exodus chapter 21, verse 17. He that curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Wow. Serious. God's serious about this. He wants us to learn how to honor. Notice that in this passage, there is this word honor. We're going to look more at that in a little bit, but just over here in chapter 21 of Deuteronomy, verse 18, it talks about these most extreme cases. If a man have a stubborn and a rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them. Whatever discipline they administer, it's not having an effect. Then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him, bring him out unto the elders of the city and unto the gate of his place, and they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones, that he die. So shall they put evil away, so shall thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. I imagine how many sons would go down the rebellious route if they knew that was the end. God's serious about it. He sees this as so important to human relationships. It's a command with a promise. On the other side, there's the prohibitive side, and there's also the positive affirming side of this instruction. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Prolonged days. Sometimes the days seem long and the years seem short of our life. But God says, I will bless them, that it will go well with you. Ephesians chapter 6 is a further New Testament affirmation as Paul writes to the church at Ephesus. And he repeats this. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, what's a child? Well, in the culture of the New Testament period, in the Jewish culture, it was someone who was 12 or under 12. A child. For this is right. Children, obey your parents, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother. So, there's the obedience instruction for children, but there's the global instruction for all of us to honor our father and mother, no matter what our age is, which is the first commandment with promise that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. I remember the story of Jim Sammons, who was a realtor in Texas. He said he began to realize that there was a direct connection between this verse and his business. And he said, I began to recognize that when I tended to forget about my parents, my business suffered. And when I went back and honored my parents, I would send flowers to my mom and thinking about you, how you doing, phone them up. I watched as I turned my heart back to honoring my parents how God blessed my business. It's his testimony. It's interesting. He claimed that promise, that it will go well with you. Important to understand that God's word is not just some nice poetry or nice words, but actual principles of spiritual laws that go into effect in our life. So God promises a reward. On one side, he said, this is so important that if you have rebellious sons in your community, they must die. On the other hand, those who honor are going to see God's rewards. How? What does it mean to honor? Well, I listed 10 things here. I'm sure you could think of many more as to how to honor. Not that you couldn't come up with a few, but I wanted to at least kind of be a catalyst to your creativity here in saying, how could I improve the honor of my parents? And this is not just for the little guys or young guys here today, but for all of us. Even for those of us whose parents have passed on into eternity, we can still honor them. Let's see how we do this. Number one, thank God for them and show them gratitude. Do you thank God for your parents? If you're a teenager, you might have trouble with that one, because they tend to conflict with your desire for autonomy. But it's still valuable. Thank God for your parents. Psalm 139, verse 13 and 14 says, "For thou hast possessed my reins." This is the psalmist speaking about God's creation of each of us individually. The word reins really speaks to the DNA ladder. "For you, O God, ordained my DNA ladder. You have covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." One of the first things to hit us as we come into conscious life and probably into those years in which we move from concrete to abstract understanding is, who am I? Where did I come from? And why am I like this? Skin color, stature, personality, socioeconomic status, all those things that we had no control over because we didn't choose who we'd be born to, we need to stop and say, thank you, God, you had a purpose and plan for me. You placed me here. I remember when grade 8, this is an embarrassing admission story of my shame. In grade 8, I went to Hugh Boyd Junior Secondary School in Richmond. It was a school, grade 8, 9, and 10 in those years, and it was about 1,000 students. And every day on the loudspeaker before classes would start at the beginning of the day, they would come off with the announcements of the day. And as it so happens, there was a day in which there was an inter-varsity Christian fellowship group. Anybody ever participate in those inter-varsity Christian fellowship group beyond your school? Bible study at noon in one of the classrooms. And the person who led this had invited my father to come speak. So over the announcements to the whole school, and today, Pastor Irvin Strauss will be coming to speak to the Bible study in classroom so-and-so. And the whole class went, right? I was embarrassed. I shouldn't have been. I didn't even attend. 13 years old. I don't know how many times I felt embarrassed that my father was a pastor. Imagine that? I just thought, why couldn't I be like everybody else? Why couldn't I have a dad who's a bricklayer or lawyer or accountant or, right? No. Because there was expectations that came with that. And I struggled with that. And I'm thankful that in my teens came some teaching that says, thank God for your parentage. He's ordained it for a purpose in your life. Maybe you have trouble thanking God for your parents. Maybe you wish you'd have been born in a totally different culture or different country or different time in history. Maybe you wanted to be born in the time of the knights, where you could put on the full metal suit and go fight people. I don't know. But thank God for your parentage. If you are not thankful for your parentage, it will be very difficult to honor them. Honor is preceded by gratefulness. And gratefulness must be expressed. We need to show them gratitude. There's a lot of Bible verses. I like using a lot of Bible verses because it's not my message, it's God's message. And it's there for our instruction, this word. And so we take it and look at it and say, what kind of wisdom do we get from God's word that's going to help us with our life and application of these principles? So Proverbs 22, verse 15 says, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." How many ever experienced the rod of correction? How many of you still remember very clearly the rod of... Yeah, I do. We drove by our house that I grew up in, number 2 road in Richmond. I was born in Edmonton, and we moved to Cleveland, Ohio, because that's where my father was pastoring, and then back to Alberta, then back here to Richmond. So we had big ditches. Big ditches. Actually, quite dangerous for kids, because the water was deep, and 2-3 feet deep. And the mud was really soft. And, of course, I may have told you this story, but bear with me. I'll tell it one more time, again to my shame, that my father would tell us, my brother and I, don't go playing in the ditch. Someone could drown. So, it's kind of like the story I shared today. Grandpa, whatever you do, don't go in the garage, right? It says, don't play in the ditch. Guess where we wanted to play? In the ditch. And so we got this crazy idea that we would throw garbage can lids into the water and we'd try and see how long it takes for each one of us to get it out. And my brother, who's 14 months younger, was one who we threw it pretty far into the middle of the ditch. And these were about 8 to 10 feet wide. Little canals, really. And so, of course, he didn't want to lose. So he went in, and before he knew it, he had fallen right in, and he was sinking into the mud. I went running and grabbed a rake and helped him get it out. He survived. He was full of mud from the chest down. And, of course, Father heard. I experienced the rod of correction that day. One experience I will never forget. My father usually did not discipline in anger, but in this day he was angry because of the threat to life. I could have lost my son. My father's he wasn't a big man, but he had strength. I witnessed it that day. And so I say to you, do you appreciate the training that your parents have given you? Maybe for some of you, the parent here today, maybe it's the training you're presently experiencing from parents. They mean well. They don't want harm for you. They love you. And sometimes that requires firm discipline, just like God does with us. And we need to show them thankfulness. Now, that's a pretty mature step for you to go to your parents and say, thank you for disciplining me. But if you can do it, good for you, because you have much maturity to your credit. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. On my experience in grade 8 and going to Hugh Boyd School, my home was on the very outer edge of the school boundaries, and so it was about a 2-mile trek to go from my home to school. And of course, it was the culture of the day that no one rode. We didn't have electric scooters. We didn't have electric bikes. We didn't have electric longboards. We either had a bike or we walked. And of course, the whole thing was, you're cool if you walk. Who comes up with this stuff? Anyway, that was the peer culture of the day. And so I told my parents, I'm going to walk. And they said, no, you're not. You're not walking. We're not paying for a pair of shoes every month. And they didn't have the money. And so I was told I was going to ride my bike. I got mocked for riding a bike because my parents insisted on it. But I look back at that, and I am thankful to my parents because it taught me to stand alone. If everybody's going off to do that, if it doesn't make sense, don't do it. It teaches how to stand alone, to be different than the world around us if the world is going crazy. Don't follow them. I'm thankful. And years later, I thank them. Thank you for putting me through the embarrassment of being mocked because it taught me how to stand alone in an era in which there was a lot of peer pressure. Bigger the school, the more the peer pressure. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a good end or a planned end. I have expectations of you because I've planned your life. God behind our parents is working for fulfilling his plan for us, and we need to thank him for it. Thank God for your parents and show them gratitude. Number two, communicate with them. One of the things that happens in a court of law, if some family estate becomes contested and they end up bringing family members who are seeking to have a greater significance or role in the family estate, one of the things that the judge will do is ask the question, how strong was the contact between you and your parent? And they will use that as determination as to whether you really had an involvement and a connection with that parent or not, and thereby determine to the degree that you should have the estate awarded to you. And as we look back at our life and you think about how much parents have poured into our lives, how often do we call them? Now we have FaceTime, we have Duo, we have WhatsApp, all these video technology tools that we can use to connect with our parents. I would have called my father more, but he always beat me to it, sometimes 2 and 3 times a day. My wife would answer phone, yeah, it's your dad on the phone. Bless his heart. I put out a little thing on WhatsApp to my family the other night. We have a family WhatsApp. And I finally sat down at the end of a very busy day, and I put out a little thing. Anybody want to talk? I got no responses. I got 9 kids. They're all busy. Maybe they're in bed already. They're all adults. I said, anybody want to talk? Dad's losing it. Like, what is his problem? Right? Nobody wanted to talk. The next morning, I got a call from one of my daughters. She said, yeah, I'll talk. We were in bed already when you did that. Probably true. I tend to do it late at night. But I thought, you know what? That's how we stay connected to each other's lives. When was the last time you called your parents? Or just had a chat with them? I appreciate you. What's going on in your life? That's honoring. It's honoring. Communicate with them. There's a number of Bible verses here that help us to appreciate God's wisdom in these areas. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Why did Solomon have to say this? Why did the Holy Spirit inspire this? Because we do forget. We get busy. We get into our own little bubble and we forget about those who have spoken and formed our lives. Very important. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Please don't just call your parents when you want to criticize or when you want something. Call them in a way that's going to be encouraging and edifying. Some of you have got not just children, but grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Do you know? Well, you'll know how much it encourages your heart if you have one of your descendants just phone you and say, I'm not calling because I want anything. I'm not calling because I'm going to complain. I'm just calling to see how you're doing. How many would appreciate that? Come on, be honest. Yeah, it means a lot to us. It's honoring. Respectfully seek their advice. Lots of passages of Scripture that talk about the benefits of seeking advice. You know, one thing about advice, it's not control. And we as parents ought not to exercise advice with control strings attached. We ought to just share advice and let it be. Now that, of course, doesn't work the same when they're 4 and 5 and 6 and 8 and 10. They have to follow instruction. But as they become adults and they seek advice, please don't wreck that activity by attaching control to it. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Wise counsel, what makes people wise? Well, wisdom comes from God, and God has a wonderful way of teaching wisdom by taking us through experiences in life. A lot of wisdom is learned the hard way. But if someone's learned it the hard way, why would you want to learn it again the hard way? You might as well learn it the easy way, which is to, what would you do in this situation? Get advice by seeking to learn from others' experiences. Proverbs 19:21, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. I suggest to you that when you seek advice, whether it be of parents or elders or even friends, filter it to grasp the nuggets of godly wisdom in it. There's a lot of advice which is not godly. There's a lot of advice out there today which is foolishness. But look for advice that is going to be filled with wisdom from God. Wisdom that was learned through things that God taught others. And as we do, we can apply it in our life and be spared the same lessons the hard way. Proverbs 30, verse 17. The eye that mocketh at his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagle shall eat it. One of the things that a bird, a meat-eating bird, will do when it's found a carcass is it will poke the eyes to see if there's any life left in it. You know yourself that someone pokes you in the eye, you're gonna respond. And that's what the birds do. And so this verse is saying, if you are one who's mocking and despising the instructions of your mother, there's a life coming to you in which there will be death. Whether it's in physical death or whether it's just in the quality of life that dies. And it'll be proven because you won't respond when poked with people prodding you to do the right thing. Pray for them. Number four, pray for them. I know it's easy to pray for them when they're wrong. God, show them that they're wrong. Show them they got to smarten up. Help them to see that they're way off track here in what they're telling me, right? That's easy to pray for. But do we pray for somebody for their well-being? You know, it says in 1 Timothy here, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, all people. Does that include parents? Yeah, it includes parents. That we are to make intercessions for them as part of the package of all people. They're not excluded from the all. Well, that means my neighbor and the prayer list at church and all the people who have great needs, but my parents, well, that's not on the list. That's a different world. No, it's not a different world. It's all the same. God instructs us to pray for all, and that includes parents. Number five, compliment them. Do you ever thank your mom or your wife or your grandma for the tremendous food they give you? Even if it's not tasting that great, thank them for the effort. My grandma used to make something called pumpkin soup. I know there's good pumpkin soup recipes. I've had them in a restaurant. But her pumpkin soup, I don't know what, it was Russian. So I didn't like her pumpkin soup. I'd go over there, she'd invite us, or come on over, I'm going to feed you lunch. Okay, go over lunch. And she'd feed us pumpkin soup. So you would be kind and polite and eat a little of the pumpkin soup. Oh, how is it? Grandma, thank you for going all to work, all this work of making pumpkin soup for me. Right? You try to find the positive in it to give commendation. She eventually learned I didn't like it, and she would make something else. That was very kind of her. She could have made me suffer more. Compliment them. Verse 27 of Proverbs 31, talking about this virtuous woman. She looketh well to the ways of her household, eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. You know, the little story I told today about the boy who said, my father's working 12 hours a day and my mother's taking care of the house and washing the laundry and keeping air. You know, what are you worried about? They might escape. That's a picture of sometimes how much we take things for granted. What if they abandon me? You know, even if you don't think they're worthy of it, do it because God tells us to. Compliment them. They're making an effort. They're seeking to really pour good into our lives. My grandma thought pumpkin soup was very healthy for you. She was right. I don't know the recipe she had. But I had to learn to compliment. I learned all kinds of foods from her, from Russia. I didn't know ever existed. But they were good. You get sort of a, you grow a taste of them. Number six, forgive them. This is a sensitive one. There are situations where parents beat up on kids. It's not right. There's all kinds of mistreatment that's occurred in families. And I'm not seeking to be lighthearted about it or in any way discount it. But the power of forgiveness sets you free. If you hang on to it and seek vengeance and brood over it and dwell on it, it's bondage. Ask God for grace to forgive. Things you can't change have happened. Ask God to bring healing to your soul and say, God, help me forgive. Help me. Matthew chapter 6, the very powerful verses that come at the end of the Lord's Prayer is what we call the Lord's Prayer, the disciples' prayer, really. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I smile when I listen to my adult children recount stories of how hard their life was. I sound like a tyrant father. And I asked my wife, was it really that bad? And she said, no. Some of them have their own kids now, and I'm watching them turn into tyrants. You know what I mean? It's interesting how the tide changes. But, you know, there are cases where people have experienced horrible things. I had to forgive God for taking my mother away when I was just about 4 years old. She passed away. I could have become bitter against God. I could have become angry. I could have sought to just reject God because you took my mom away. And then my father married Dolores, my stepmom, who was absolutely a gem in trying to do what she could for three little kids, never being having been a mother before. Walked into pastor's wife and three little children, 5, 4, and 1. Can you imagine? Instantly three kids. Bless her heart. I honor her today. She walked into a situation and sought to help what was a very needy situation. Many of the people in my father's life said, you just need to let the kids be adopted out so you can focus on ministry. Wow. My father pondered that advice. And he, what? No, I'm a father first. Not a pastor first. I'm a father first. He said, no, I will not adopt out the kids. God will provide a way, and God brought along a woman who was willing to step up and fill that role. But you know, not being my blood mother, she had lots to learn. And she would admit it later in life. I could have done things way differently. And we were raised by the book. Had to sit in the front row. Don't you dare move. Can I breathe? Is that strict? And I had, my wife and I had the delight of caring for her right through to the end of her life. It's our way of honoring her for what she poured into our lives, stepping up to be that fill-in mom for three little kids who had no mom suddenly. And I forgive her for her shortcomings and her lack of understanding the mother role. She had to grow into it. 7, tell them the truth. Tell them the truth. Relationships are totally built on trust. The way to damage trust is to lie. The way to build trust is to tell the truth. In love, respectfully, kindly, but share the truth. Because when we don't tell the truth, we really don't know whether the person can be trusted with anything. Right? That's how it works. To have healthy relationships, it has to be built on truth. One of the blessings of family, frankly, is that they'll tell you maybe what you don't want to hear, whereas public will tell you, well, he probably wants to hear this, or she wants to hear this, so I'll tell him that. But it may not be the truth. There's a blessing of those who are closest to us sharing with us the truth. Thank them for it. And tell the truth to each other. This pleases God. Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. It applies in the home. It applies in the workplace. It applies in the business. And it applies in government. God delights in those who tell the truth. He is truth. It's his character. Number 8, take care of them as needed. Take care of them as needed. The Bible speaks to the responsibility of children to care for their parents. It flips, doesn't it? We start off caring for our kids, and eventually they care for us. I remember first time when my father was in hospice going to help him take a bath. I'd never done that before. He hadn't had his sons help him take a bath before. And we sought to do it with the most honorable, respectful way. The staff was short. They said, if you want him to have a bath, we don't have the staff to help him. You're going to have to help him yourself. He needs a bath. Come on, Dad, let's have a bath. It was something I could do. There's a lot of medical procedures I can't do. And there's limits to what we can do even in our home settings or in a residential settings as to how much we can help our parents. But what we can do, the Bible speaks to us to challenge us to say, take care of them. It's love in action. Mark chapter 7, verse 9. Jesus said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curses father or mother, let him die the death. Jesus affirmed that commandment. But you say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And if you suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things you do. This is a tradition in the Jewish culture that if you had certain possessions, whether it be money or physical assets, you could say, well, I'm going to give it as a gift to God. Therefore, it's not available to help my parents. And Jesus is saying, if you're doing that as an excuse until your parents die and are gone, and then you reclaim the gift back, that's dishonoring God, and it's dishonoring your parents. If you have something that you can use to help them out, Don't use the excuse of sort of the holier thing where I'm giving it to God, so it's not available. Jesus reprimanded that. He said, it's not right. And then over in 1 Timothy, instruction that the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to give, which is so powerful. But if any widow have children or nephews, notice, let them learn first to show piety at home, kindness, and to repay their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith. Let not a widow be taken into the number of the church under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man. That gets into the church's responsibility versus the families. And God's saying here, you and I have a responsibility to repay our parents. That's his message. Repay them. Treat them kindly. Take care of them as much as you possibly can. And there are limits. I appreciate that. Then says number 9, speak kindly of them in private and public. Speak kindly of them. Healthy talk. Speak kindly. I'll let you look up the verses. And the last one there is bless them by seeking God's wisdom. Do you know that what you are, what I am as a person, either blesses or brings disgrace to parents? Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. It's an indirect way of bringing honor to parents by the level of character development and wisdom that we learn. If I'm a wise son, that brings honor to my father. If I'm not, it's grief, heaviness. And it's repeated a number of times in Proverbs, just 3 of them here. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 20. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. 17, verse 25. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him. Can you see the point? We can bring blessing to our parents by who we develop into. Okay, D, God's reward. One of the things that's important to understand here in this passage in Ephesians is our perspective. I appreciate so much some of the teaching that has come into my life by others that has helped me see this point, whether it's in marriage between spouses or whether it's in the home, child to parent relationships, there is a nugget of truth that becomes so valuable here to helping us, motivate us, and grant us grace. In that passage in Ephesians 6, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. Emerson Eggerich, in the Love and Respect series, says that when you are dealing with a difficult person, whether it's your spouse, whether it's your father, your mother, your child, look past them and imagine seeing Jesus. So I'm looking at my spouse, I'm looking at my son, my daughter, and I'm looking at them, but I'm looking through them to see Jesus. Jesus, what would you want me to treat them like? Do you get that picture? Yes? No? You get that picture? Look through them to see Jesus. I want to look through them because this is my opportunity to serve you, Jesus, in interaction with this person. And it gives us grace. It gives spiritual understanding for some of the most difficult people in life. I don't say it because it's easy. It's hard. But God is powerful enough to help us with the hard things too. Amen? He can help us with the hard things. Things will go well for you. The depth of our vertical relationship to serving Christ will grant us tools and grace and strength for the people relationships of life. That's why in the Ten Commandments, the first four are about loving God. Because once we get that sorted out, He grants us all kinds of maturity and understanding and grace to love people. It comes from Him. It's a given. Honor your father and mother like you have been taught to honor God. And as a result of honoring God, you will be equipped to honor all men. And then secondly, prolonged life. Why do we want prolonged life? So we can do our own thing? So I can get a bigger boat, I can get a bigger car, I can get all kinds of rental properties. I mean, oh man, this is going to be great. I get another 20 years to pile it up. Is that what it's for? Is that what long life is intended to bless us with? I've thought about this often. Whether it's been in the funerals of little children or youth. And then those who pass away in their 80s and 90s. Some by God's grace are given that length, and some are by God's grace only this length. And you kind of go, why? What? I'm convinced that the blessing of long life is not about satisfying more personal, lustful pleasures and vanity, but it's all about giving us greater time to prepare for eternity. Greater time to prepare for eternity, where it will last forever. Did you get that? 20 years versus forever? That's a no-brainer. So God says, I'm going to bless you. If you can get this part of honoring your parents as the very foundational core cell of human relationships, and you can begin to experience God's blessing in that area, I'm going to bless you with prolonged life. Relative to my plan for you, because not everybody has the same guaranteed years, do they? But I'm going to give you time to even more time to prepare for eternity and invest in the things that are going to be meaningful in my kingdom. Here's a reading by Brenda Kay. Honor thy father and mother. The fifth commandment is the first that deals with man's relationship with his fellow man. Love towards a neighbor. But in this case, it's parents. Exodus 20:12 reads, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. This commandment connects all the commandments together. The first four, love towards God. The last five, six, love towards your neighbors, because honoring God bears a strong relationship to honoring parents. There's a direct correlation. If all obeyed this commandment, then juvenile delinquency would be no more. Honoring thy father and mother would naturally lead to honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. If all lived by this, more educational centers would take the place of all youth detentions and reform schools. This means that drug dealers and gangs would be completely out of commission. Wouldn't that be nice? The youth would start to honor and obey the words of warning and take heed to the danger that their parents speak to them about. Without drug habits to feed, theft would seriously decrease. I could live with that, can't you? Children could safely walk to school and wear what they wanted instead of worrying about drive-by shootings or getting mocked because they wore the wrong colors or styles. This would be a gift from heaven, don't you think? With parental guidance, we would see more positive changes. We would see more self-worth, taking value of all mankind. Respecting the elders would reappear, along with healthy authority to all law enforcement officers that serve to help and protect. The amount of disrespect in our culture today has been festered by the incubators of the homes. That's where it starts. And it's not just demanding respect as a father to my child, but it's being respectful to my child in an exemplary pattern that says, could you live like I'm trying to model? And all of society changes, starting between parents and child. Are you thankful for your parents? Are you honoring them, even if they're gone? The Lord prompted my heart to continue serving here until you can find a new pastor, out of honor to my father. He was the planting pastor of this church, and I knew his heart would break if there had been some disruption that would cause this to suffer, this work. So honor to my father, I'm still serving you. It's my way of honoring him. What are you doing to honor your father and your grandfather? Learn about your family. My wife, she's been doing this ancestry thing. She's royal. She's gone back to the 1100s with her family. She's discovered she's some descendant of some king of Scotland or something or other. Now she wants me to bow. She was royal to me before she ever found that out. But our forefathers, what's coming down through the human channels of DNA and what's coming down through the spiritual channels of DNA into our lives? And how can we turn that in a way that's going to bring glory to God and bring a blessing to our descendants? Pray. Pray. Our family is under great attack today. Children are being inundated with the most deceptive, subtle lies of the devil. And oh, how we need wisdom and discernment to help steer them, protect them without controlling them. You know what I mean? May God give us grace. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this commandment. Oh, we need your wisdom how to honor. We need to have your Holy Spirit grant us resource of character and grace and kindness that we don't have on a human level. Now I'm thankful that by your Spirit you can do it if we humble ourselves and ask. And Lord, today, as our society is crumbling, we know the answer is not politics, nor is the answer economy, and it's not education. The answer is getting back to the principles of your word and following your instructions that we would have healthy relationships with you and with each other. Guide us. Help us. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.